Well, thank you, Reverend Murray, for your very warm words of welcome. It's lovely to be with you. I'm really grateful for the opportunity to represent Compassion and talk about the work that we do. It's international. We work in 25 developing countries where people are poor. The UNICEF definition of poverty is children who live on less than £1.40 a day. They do it in dollars, but I'll give it to you in pounds. £1.40 a day. That's the sort of level of poverty we're talking about, less than £1.40 a day. Now, I know some of you think you could manage on less than £1.40 a day, but actually, it wouldn't take many weeks for you to realize that's a very small amount of money. And that's the children that I'm here to represent this evening and to share with you about. And Shannon's going to help me, and she's going to start right at the beginning. This guy's called Everett Swanson. You've probably never heard of him. He was a chaplain in the U.S. Army, and he was supporting the troops who were fighting the Korean War in 1952. You maybe didn't realize there was a war in Korea, but there was between North and South Korea. Today, it's an amazing country, South Korea, and there are many Christians in South Korea. But back then, the church was small, and one of the things that Everett Swanson noticed was these rags that were being thrown into the bin lorry every morning. And he made further inquiries about these rags that were being thrown in the bin lorry, and he discovered that they weren't rags. They were children, street children, who'd frozen to death overnight and had died. And the only way to dispose of them was that the bin lorry would pick them up, the bin men would pick them up each morning. He was devastated to learn that human life was being abused, in a sense, in this way. And he determined when he went back to the States that he would talk to his friends and that they would send money to a church in Korea in order to help that child in every way possible. And the reason I love Compassion is for three C's. Baptists love three things. Do you know? I don't know whether Presbyterians are into three things or not, but we think you can remember three things: Christ-centered, church-based, and child-focused. Now, you might remember nothing more about what I say this evening, but if you remember Christ-centered, church-based, child-focused, you'll remember everything about Compassion. We believe the gospel changes lives, and the most important thing is to teach children the good news of Jesus. Now, do you have a boys' brigade here? You do. I grew up in the boys' brigade, so I know a little bit about the boys' brigade. I know nothing about the girls' brigade. I know that the boys are the best boys. That's what BB stands for. And I know that we learn a hymn. And I wonder, I'm quite sure quite a few of you would know this hymn. And it's called, "Will Your Anchor Hold in the Storms of Life?" See, you all know it, don't you? Who was saying it there? And the cables lift, right. And then the chorus goes, "We have an anchor that keeps the steadfast and while the billows roll, fastened to the rock that's higher than I, fastened firm and deep in the Saviour's love." I saw Alex Ferguson on Facebook recently reciting that even after his stroke and brain incident. And I was amazed. Alex Ferguson and Jimmy Nesbitt were talking to each other, and they could remember those words, both of them. And you know, the gospel's contained in that hymn, and that's the whole point of the BB. It's not to make them the best boys, although they do that, I know, but it's also to teach about Jesus, to bring the gospel. That's exactly what Compassion do. We are Christ-centered. We want to share Jesus with them, and we're interested in the whole person, their education, their health, your nutrition, because if they're not healthy, they won't come to hear about Jesus and they won't learn to follow Jesus. So it all goes together, Christ-centered ministry. And we believe the best place for Christ-centered ministry is in the local church. For that's where the hope of the world, according to Jesus, is the local church. The local church knows the community best. The local community is known to the local church, and they know where the poor are in the local community, and they know who they can help, and they know how to help them, and they can minister to them because they live among them. And that's why it's church-based. There are great people doing great things, don't get me wrong, in schools and hospitals and social workers and so on. I wouldn't decry anything that they're doing, but everything Compassion does is centered and based in the local church. For that's where Jesus is preached, that's where Jesus is shared, and that's where we believe transformation truly happens. And the third thing is child-focused. Compassion believe that no child should live in poverty. We believe that children can be rescued. We believe they can be released from poverty in Jesus' name, and we can believe we can make a difference. And we don't give them a load of money up front and say, here you are, that'll change your life. You know, the lottery does that every week, and what a waste of money that is. Because I'm told that if you're a grumpy old man before you win the lottery, you're okay for a year. But after the year, you're just a grumpy old man again. I don't know. I don't participate, so I have never proved this. But it's interesting. They make television programs out of it, don't they? People who end up bankrupt or die early because it didn't work. It didn't change their lives. And we have seen since 1952, the way to change a child's life is not to give them hundreds of pounds at once, but to just give them enough so that they can attend school, that they can have health checks, that they can have nutritious meals, that they can be part of the local church, that they can hear the gospel. And that asks for a commitment of £28 a month. I call it a pound a day because there's 28 days in every month, even February. And that's what I'd ask you to think about this evening as I'm talking, about investing in the life of a child, a pound a day, £28 a month, and making a difference. It's a drip, drip effect, but it makes a huge difference. And I'm humbled when I think of what you've been doing for many years with the children that you've been sponsored through the Sunday school. That's amazing. Shannon, can you take me on to the next one? It's now possible to download our app. And for those of you who are not good at handwriting and handwriting a letter, this is an even better way. I'm able to use my phone to write to our children. And I've got a wonderful wife, Alison, who tells me what to say. I'm useless at writing letters, I'll be honest with you. And I lift my hat off to the dear lady who writes every month. That is some commitment. I usually say to people, try and write 3 times a year. Our children usually write 6 times a year. I always say they've got someone in church helping them write a letter. I've only got Alison, and she is wonderful, don't get me wrong, but 3 times a year we're committed. So there's Christmas, Easter, and also birthday. And that's the power of love in an envelope, I call it, although we're doing it by text and on the app now. But that power of love, they receive it in an envelope. And it's so amazing to know that someone in Northern Ireland loves them, has included them as part of their family, is interested in them, believes they have a better future, and believes in the Lord Jesus, that Jesus can transform their life. And that is huge. And every child I've met, I've been to Nairobi and I've met children, and every child I've met have told me that the biggest thing is the letters, that someone overseas loves them, is interested in them, sponsors them, and writes to them. And when you think about what God has done for us, Richard referred to it in his prayer, we are saved for relationship. So we get the vertical right. And the horizontal follows. It's about relationship. A relationship, first of all, with God. That's what he values. He wants to hear us talking to him. He wants to see us listening to his word, the Bible. He wants to enjoy fellowship with us. And that then has a horizontal impact upon our relationships with others and as we grow to be more like the Lord Jesus Christ.
Hi, sponsors. Welcome to Nicaragua. Nowadays, we have 260 church partners in Nicaragua and over 69,000 children who are beneficiaries in the program. Right now in Nicaragua, the situation has been really hard, mainly for the children and for the families who live in extreme poverty. We were affected not just by the pandemic, but also 2 years ago in 2018, we had this social political crisis and it's still affecting us nowadays. Then we also were hit by two major hurricanes at the end of 2020. It is a very unhealthy environment for children as well, because the children at home, they are the ones who suffer the violence from the frustration of the parents and the stress of the families. And also they have to support economically the families, and that changed the social interaction and the social structure of those communities, and that really affected the children. But the amazing thing is that the children that are registered with Compassion, they know that they're supported. They don't have to go to work. They don't have to leave school. The children were able to have hope through the whole process because they knew there was someone there taking care of them, protecting them, caring for them.
We as Compassion have been providing monthly food packages to the church partner and also for medical attention. The staff of the churches have been supported by cell phone, using the mobile apps like WhatsApp and Facebook.
The attention to children right now is very contextualized. So each one of the churches have developed their own strategies to continue with the attention for the children. You know what, something amazing is that it's not just in the children, but it's also in the communities. The communities are developing resilience through what the church partners are doing in the ground. There is a community called San Juan La Playbook outside Managua, and this community was very affected with flooding during the hurricane season. So what they did, the brothers and sisters of the community, was to open a refuge for the people who was affected by the hurricanes. The director of the center, he said, it feels amazing to know that the community can count on us. You know, the community can count with their local church. I believe that bringing the gospel, bringing encouragement from sponsors, bringing all this physical support, economical support to the communities, that is really, really helping to withstand through all this crisis and giving hope to the communities that is a better future, and giving hope to the children that they do have a future and that they're gonna reach their God-given potential.
We can see hope in the children's faces. This is the time where they really get more closer to the church and have increased their faith in God.
Thank you so much for everything you do. Every effort counts. And we are here together to release children from poverty in Jesus' name.
Gracias por patrocinarme y estamos orando por
ustedes. Thank you. Thank you for what you're doing. You're also sponsoring a child in Haiti. Some of you will know that there was an earthquake in Haiti on the 14th of August last year. There was total devastation in many parts, especially the south part of the island. It was 7.2 on the Richter scale. Something like 800,000 people died or were affected, 340,000 children. Compassion's working with the churches to rebuild 12,000 homes. 34 Compassion projects were affected, and we were able to give micro loans, small loans to caregivers to help them through this tragedy. Sadly, there was an aftershock on the 24th of January, measuring 5.3 on the Richter scale. And that's obviously devastating and hard for the families. And one or two sponsored children in Haiti have died as a result of these earthquakes. If it was your child, you would have been told. So I always say no news is good news. If you haven't been informed, your child is safe. But it is an earthquake zone in Haiti. And these things do happen from time to time. Do pray for the children. I don't know if you've ever been in an earthquake. It is quite frightening when the ground shakes. And it's more than moving furniture upstairs. It's really the whole earth shaking, and it must be psychologically difficult for them to be in that situation. But thank you for what you're doing in Nicaragua and in Haiti. That is amazing, and we will pray for the local churches there in just a moment. But before I do, I want to turn to this miracle in Matthew 15, verses 29 to 39. I want to think about this passage for a brief moment or two. Some people think Matthew made a mistake by mentioning the feeding of the 5,000, which probably was 25,000, including men and boys and children. And that was back in an earlier chapter. And here we get to Matthew 15, and he talks about the 4,000. So they're wondering, is he confused? But this is God's word. This is not Matthew's word. This is God's word. And I don't believe Matthew is confused. He's telling us about a different incident in a different place. And the circumstances are different, and the outcome is the same, I admit. But he's in the southeast Galilee region, so he's moved away into a more Gentile area here in this case. And it was later in the summer because he instructs them to sit down on the ground rather than on the grass. So we know ourselves that when the grass dies, we see more brown than green, and that's what it would appear here. It's later in the summer months, and the ground was there. There was no grass. And there were probably 20,000 people here, and those who were sick and those who were disabled came to him. Great crowds, verse 30 tells us, came to him, the lame, the blind, the crippled, the mute, and many others, and were led at his feet, and healed them. So let's be clear, this is God at work. This is not magic. This is God at work. God the Son, in all his power, healing individuals. And verse 31 says, the people were amazed. This is God. And there are times in my life, and I'm sure you've had times in your life, where things happen, and you've just got to say, that was God. I was driving from Ballymena to Antrim last Saturday, and we stopped at a phone call, and Alison said, pull in, you must stop driving, take this phone call. We pulled into a lay-by. I took the phone call, talked to the person on the other end, and lo and behold, who should walk up but a friend of mine from school. Now, it's quite a few years since I've been to school, but I still recognized him, even though he had a crash helmet on. He was on his motorbike. And he came to the back of the car. Alison was changing her shoes, and I was on the phone. And as soon as he spoke, Alison recognized his voice, and she said, hello, and called him by his name. And he said, I'm struggling. He said, this man on a Harley Davidson has broken down, and he needs a jump start, and I don't have jump leads. I'm only on a moped. It was a 48-year-old moped he was on. And he said, I need jump leads. So I'll cut a long story short. I helped him get jump leads from a neighbor, and I left him testifying to the young man about his Christian faith. And it was a God incident. You know, you just think, what's the likelihood of me from County Armagh bumping into someone I went to school with who needed jump leads? I had a car with a battery that's big enough to jump a Harley Davidson and help him out at that stage. It was a God incident. And I'm sure there are times in your life where you can say the same. This wasn't just a human interaction. This was God at work. And my friend had an opportunity to share the gospel with him as to why we would want to help him out, even though he was stuck at the side of the road. God incident. This was a God incident as well. Because the people were amazed, verse 31 says, they were amazed when they saw the mute speak, the crippled made well, the lame walking, and the blind seeing, and they praised the God of Israel. They knew this was God at work. This wasn't a coincidence. This wasn't luck, as some people would say. This is God at work. And they immediately praised the God of Israel. What did Jesus do? Jesus called his disciples and he said, I have compassion for these people. They've been with me 3 days. They've had nothing to eat. I don't want to send them away hungry or they may collapse on the way. This word compassion is a very deep word. We sometimes think of it in English as being feeling sorry for. Feeling sorry for someone, you have compassion. But it's much more than that in the Greek. It's more than feeling sorry. It's more than deep sympathy. It's actually accompanied with a strong desire to alleviate pain or to restore wholeness. So it's actually, I'm going to do something about this. And the best example I can think of is in John 3:16. For God so loved the world, so he had compassion on the world, he gave his one and only Son. You see, he didn't just love us and talk about it, as sometimes we do. He loved us and acted. He gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So God did something about it. This is compassion. And in this verse here, in verse 32, Jesus also has compassion. He sees the people have had nothing to eat. He doesn't want to send them away. So in verse 33, he asks this question. So don't let them go away hungry. He said, I don't want to send them. But the disciples answered him. See, they're afraid they wouldn't have enough. Now, these probably were the same disciples who just a couple of chapters ago, I don't know, few months, I'm guessing, since the feeding of the 5,000, the 25,000 in all. It's only months, weeks since the previous incident. Had they forgotten or was their faith not changed? They didn't know, and they said, where would we get enough bread in this remote place to feed such a crowd? So they knew what had happened before, but yet they were reluctant or dull or slow to trust Jesus. Very often, you know, you and I think about what we don't have. And we seldom sit down and think about what we do have. My mom used to say, and quote a little hymn, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. And I find that more true today than ever. Let me tell you this. If you have a bed to sleep in tonight and a roof over your head, and if you have a wardrobe and a chair to sit on and a warm home, that puts you in the top 5% of the wealthiest people in the world. Just those five things. I could go on and list some of the other things that you and I have and actually show that we're in the top 2.5% of the wealthiest people in the world. And you said to me, David, I'm not wealthy, neither am I. But when you meet children in Africa and children in these developing countries, you realize we are blessed. You realize that we are wealthy. You realize God has been good to us being born in Northern Ireland as we are. So Jesus says, what do you have? What do you have? And they said 7 loaves, they're probably what we would call baps or rolls. 7 rolls and a few fish. Doesn't tell us the number in this incident. A few fish. And Jesus said, get the people to sit down on the ground. And he took the 7 loaves and the fish. And when he had given thanks to God in heaven, he broke them and gave them to the disciples. And this is where the miracle happens. Another miracle, okay? We've seen the miracle of the healing. Now there's a miracle of the feeding. And this is what God can do when we ask him and trust him and allow him. And it says that Jesus gave. The word there, gave, is a present continuous tense in the Greek. He gave and he gave and he gave. Now you think about it. 7 baps and a few fish. But yet he gave and he gave And he continued giving, and he continued giving, and he gave to the disciples, and they in turn gave it to the people. They all ate and were satisfied. And afterwards, the disciples picked up 7 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. You probably think that's nothing compared to the 12 baskets they picked up the last time, but actually it's huge, because these baskets were big baskets. The baskets in the feeding of the 5,000 were big enough for a lunch for 2 men, or maybe 3 lunches for 3 children. But the basket in this case was big enough to contain a man. So it's a much bigger basket, and there were 7 of them. Now, you probably know in Acts, when Paul was escaping from a city, and I've forgotten which city, they put him into a basket and lowered him down the outside of the city wall. That's the same basket, a huge basket that was big enough to hold a man. So isn't it amazing what God could do if we allow him to work? Compassion has found over the years that the simple drip-drip of a gift each month enables a church to share Jesus with a child and to see that child won to the Lord and grow and develop into a man or woman who serves God and is different, releasing them from poverty in Jesus' name. We know Matthew 28 very well, the Great Commission. I often wonder about Matthew 25, and I like to remind people of this, because Jesus told a story about the sheep and the goats, and then he talks about this. I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was ill and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me. But they said, Lord, when did we ever see you hungry or thirsty or in prison or in need of clothes? And then the king will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters of mine, you did it for me. I find that really challenging, especially when I meet the poor. Whatever we did for the least of one of these brothers or sisters, you did it for me. Do you know, I'm reminded of that old verse in the Old Testament where the law is clearly established and the pattern is established for the Jewish people, the children of Israel, to look after the poor. When you reap the harvest of your land, do not reap to the very edges of your field. You remember in Ruth, Ruth was able to glean in the field of Boaz. This is why, because in Leviticus 23:22, the instruction is given that they should not reap to the very edge of their field and gather the gleanings of the harvest. Leave them for the poor, for the foreigner residing among you. I am the Lord your God. You see, God has made provision for the poor. And in the Old Testament, again and again, you'll see those words, the poor, the stranger among you, the foreigner, the widow, and so on. There, God has a heart for the poor. God has a love, a compassion for the poor. And you and I, as we grow to know God and grow and develop in our relationship with him in a vertical sense, we'll want to develop that horizontally as well and have an interest in the poor, the underdog, the weakling, and we'll want to encourage them and we want to help them. And for some of you, this will be an invitation that you'll respond to. For others, it won't be for you, and I acknowledge that. But it would be lovely if you and your family would be willing to invest in the life of a child to make a difference. We seek to take them and help them right through to their independent, able to fend for themselves, able to provide an income for themselves, whether they've graduated with a degree or whether they've been able to finish an apprenticeship. But they will be financially independent and able to provide for others. I don't know the size of your field, but listen to Sandeep's story. Thank you.
Every single morning, I went for shopping in the city dumpster. Every single day, without a fail. Because that would be the only place where I can get maybe a little bit of food. We have been thrown out from that little shanty and we were homeless. And I thought I would be the next person to die on the street. When my sponsor partnered with Compassion and Compassion partnered with my local church, my life got changed. I got food, I got shelter, I got clean water, I got medical supplies, but the most important thing that I received was the word of God. I think there is no way that they could know it. As somebody started pouring into me, I started finding my identity in Christ. Not what I was wearing, not how I looked like, not the education that I had, but I am valued. And I know that 101%.
Thank you. As I said, pray with us. We'll pray in a moment for the children in Nicaragua and in Haiti and their parents. I pray for peace in Nicaragua. It's a bit tense at the moment politically and socially, so do pray for God's peace in Nicaragua, for those who are frightened or discouraged, and pray also that the local church projects will be lights in their community, serving God and providing support for all in need. If you would like to sponsor a child, invest in the life of a child, I've brought with me some children from Nicaragua, and if you want to pick up a leaflet, you're very welcome to do that. You can take it away, and pages 2 and 3 are the bits where you're able to say, yes, I'd like to sponsor Ruth or whatever the child's name is, and complete the details and post it back to us if you can, or if you can hand it back to me tonight, with your name and phone number on it. We can do the rest over the phone. But these are the little leaflets. If you're really willing to commit to a child tonight, pick one of these up from the table, just beside the banner over there. If you're thinking about it and you want to think a little bit longer about it, that's fine. There's another leaflet. It's called Sponsor a Child. Pick up one of those. I always say, don't kidnap my children if you're not going to sponsor them. So don't take one with a photograph unless you're really sure that's what you want to do. And it's £1 a day, £28 a month. And there are some ways online, if you're watching online, that you can sponsor. The QR code and the URL is number 3. You can do it by text as well on your smartphone. But here in the building, you can do it by picking up a photograph, and that will be your child. You can write to that child. That child will write to you, and you can see a little bit more about the child. It'll tell you the country they're in, how old they are, and where they live. Yes, it tells you they're a girl is the first thing. My apologies. So they'll tell you if it's a boy or girl. Usually you can tell by what they're wearing if they're a boy or girl, but they're very definitely one or the other. So that's the little leaflet, and do consider it. Thank you. Thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for the two children that you're sponsoring in Haiti and Nicaragua. That is amazing. I'm so humbled and thankful for what you're doing already. And if anyone else, any other families or groups of people would like to join in, that would be wonderful. We really appreciate your support. Let's pray.